come true.
More people love to wake up with a morning mix. Waking up to Keith and Don, weekdays 6 to 10 a.m.
Puts me in a good mood for the day.
On Mix 96.7 WBVI.
We have about 19 minutes away from 10 o'clock in the morning here on Mix 96.7. Keith and Don, we have Carmen on the phone. Carmen is the ex-wife of Greg, who was talking just a little bit ago about his experience with COVID-19. And now we're going to hear kind of the other side of the story.
Right. Good morning.
Good morning.
There we go. He talked about the fact that he came to visit you
on Easter and brought food, lunch for the girls. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so, you know, in the week leading up, we really had thought, you know, with him working at a hospital that we should be careful. And so he had not had any overnight visitation with the kids. He would come see them in the driveway and, you know, they'd play games outside and things, but they had not gone to his house. He hadn't come in the house. We'd been really careful.
All the whole and social distancing.
As he said, it had been about a month. And I think he just kind of got tired, and the girls were getting tired too. And so on Easter Sunday, he grabbed some to-go food and came inside. And we sat around my kitchen table, all four of us, and ate a meal together. Passed the food, you know. He wasn't here a long time, maybe an hour, maybe an hour and a half. And he left. He had gone home that day, and later that afternoon, we took him over some leftover food and dropped it at his apartment. He said, yeah, I've been sleeping all afternoon. I was kind of tired. And literally that day, we just dropped the food off, left, didn't think much of it. And around 8 o'clock that night, he called me and said, I don't know what's going on. My ear hurts, and my fever was 103.
Had you known about his ear and his, I guess, so-called infection, for lack of a better word, at that point? Did you know about that when he came over?
It was like a week and a half before he had had an ear infection where, I mean, he was having, like, drainage from his ear. So I didn't really have any reason to think it was anything else other than that, because I don't know of a ton of adults who get ear infections, but, you know, my kids have had them over the years, and so you kind of know what that's like, and so that story all lined up.
And then when you found out, obviously it shocked you and
kind of rocked your world a bit.
Yeah,
so that was a Sunday night, and I didn't really know obviously that Sunday night we didn't know what was going on. Later that day, I had taken a walk with someone. I had met some family later. We had done like a parking lot thing on Easter and just kind of all stood at our cars and said hi, and so while I had some interaction with people, it wasn't, it wasn't a ton of interaction. I did Monday morning, I woke up, I put a mask on, I went into my office, and I didn't see anybody. I stayed right in my office, and I messaged with my boss and said, look, I don't know what's going on with Greg, but he was at my house and does have a fever. He thinks it's an ear infection. That's what the, you know, telehealth medicine told him. But I don't know what's going on. And at that point, she and I just agreed, why don't you just go home and just work from home this week? And so that was Monday that week. You know, I was working from home, so I really hadn't seen anybody to be worried but myself. Wednesday, when he went to work and then was checked into the ER and then was admitted to the hospital, at that point, I reported back to my employer that he was probable COVID, that it would take a bit to get the final test, but that, you know, it was likely based on what they saw in his lungs. It wasn't until Friday, so he was admitted Wednesday. It was Friday that we got the results that he was positive. And within a few hours of him getting the test, the health department called me and said, you know, you now need to quarantine for 2 weeks. Who else have you seen? They were very concerned about who I might have been in contact with. And I explained who I had seen on Sunday and Monday. And they told me based on those two visits, I wouldn't have, even if I contracted COVID at the time, I went on the walk with my boyfriend, and at the time I saw my family, I would not have been positive or contagious. So that gave me a sigh of relief, because after that point, my girls and I did what we needed to for the 2 weeks and stayed away from people.
What was your initial thinking when you heard that he was diagnosed with it?
Yeah, I mean, while the test confirmed it Friday, basically once he was admitted, I knew that's what he had, because the breathing thing is just, there's not really another reason why he would have had that. So I, from Wednesday, I assumed.
And
it's hard to explain exactly. Oh, go ahead.
How did you feel? Like, what were your emotions at that point?
I was scared to death. I think I was scared for a few different reasons. One, for him, you know, it was bad. As he said, you know, it took a long time for us to get any good news from the hospital. I think it was probably 7 days he was admitted there. The following Wednesday, he called me in the morning and said, I had a really good night. And that was the first bit of good news we had. So a 2-week hospital stay is kind of a long time these days. And to go 7 days with really no improvement was scary. I was scared for him. The day he talked about kind of having a breakdown, it was late on a Saturday night, and he messaged, I can't breathe, it's getting worse. And when I talked to the doctor that night, they were like, you know, he's kind of at this critical point right now. It's either going to get better or it's going to get worse. And that scared me half to death, you know, thinking about my girls not having their dad and all of the other people in his life. You know, it was just very scary. And then being so worried that I was going to get it or they were going to get it, and thinking, you know, if they got it, I'm like, I can take care of my kids, I can take care of them. But thinking, well, what happens if I get sick? What if I go in the hospital and now they have two parents in the hospital? Mm-hmm. Like, who is going to care for them when, you know, you don't want to ask anyone else to come into the environment? So it felt like a waiting game for 2 weeks. Just every day that we got further away from the exposure date, it was better and better, because we knew, you know, statistically, most people get sick 5 to 7 days after exposure. So once we kind of got through that hump, it was awesome. And then once you get to day 11, like 99% of people have symptoms by day 11. So after that, it was like, okay, we're almost there. We probably made it.
Wow.
That's a lot. That's a lot to be thinking and a lot to have gone through.
And also working at the same time.
Right.
And so you did work from home this whole time then.
Yeah, I worked from home, and I would say those first few days, like, I remember having a day where I was like, I just have to go lay down, because I started to feel like I couldn't breathe, like, in my chest. I would take a deep breath, and it felt like I just felt like I couldn't take it. I wasn't breathing like I was normally breathing. And I know it was probably just anxiety and worry, but, I mean, one afternoon, I remember not sleeping hardly at all, and I just decided I'm going to go out for a run, because people with COVID can't go for a run. I mean, just anything in your mind to keep you sane through the process is what you do. And I'm so proud of our girls, because they continue to do their schoolwork the whole time. And it was sort of a discipline in just how do we keep things normal when this is, you know, a very stressful situation. And trying to keep, you know, not downplay what he's going through. But we did one time drive over to the hospital and, like, just stayed in the parking lot with some other family and friends that came out, and we prayed for him and just offered support. And I wanted them to kind of see where he was and just have some tangible. But it's difficult. Like he said, you know, phone calls and FaceTime, and thinking that somebody that's so sick is all by themselves, it's horrible.
As you made your way through this and you realized that he was going to be okay, there had to be some point that you probably got mad.
Mad that he came over.
Yeah.
Or
definitely.
Or not.
Yeah. Yes, after you kind of get through the fear and the scared and all of that, and you realize, and it's like, oh my gosh, you know, 1 hour of our time, if we had just not done that 60 or 90 minutes, like, it still would have been stressful because he still would have been sick. But our focus could have been on keeping, you know, on supporting him and cheering him, which it still was, but we also had this added layer of our own health and our own worry of whether we were going to get sick here. And, you know, one of my biggest fears was who was going to take care of my kids. And finally, my stepmom one day said, you know, if you get sick, I will come stay with the girls, or I will take the girls to my house. And that was a huge relief to me, because that was my biggest concern, you know, is what do I do with these kids if I'm sick? And, you know, I think any parent would feel that way.
Now that you're past all of this, what message do you have for people that are out and about as we begin to, like, reopen society? Mm-hmm. What kind of message do you have for someone who's been through this?
Yeah, I think whatever you're feeling is normal. I think there's people who are so tired of this, they just want to move on with life and be totally back to normal. And that's a normal feeling. If you're still scared and don't want to go out, I think that's a normal feeling. I feel like I kind of land in the middle a bit. You know, I'm wearing my mask when I go out. I'm being safe at work. We're doing more meetings, you know, electronically. We're doing whatever we need to do to keep employees safe and keep the distance. But I just think that there's not, this is sort of like religion. There's a lot of ranges of how you might interpret this and how, you know, you can be very strict and not do anything, or you could be very liberal on the other side and just think, I'm going to get it. But I do think the basic information that we've been given, wash your hands a lot, wear a mask if you're out to protect other people from you, is, I think, you know, what we should be doing as a society. But again, that's just my opinion.
All right. Well, okay.
We appreciate it very much, Carmen, and we're glad that you're safe, your girls are safe, your ex-husband here. And I commend the relationship between all of you, because he obviously has a lot of respect for you and you for him, and in the end, it was the girls that were the most important thing to both of you.
Right.
Right, absolutely.
So.
Yeah. Right.
Thank you so much for sharing your message and spending time with us this morning. Have a great weekend. Yeah. Stay healthy and safe.
Thank you.
Yes, you too.
Okay, bye-bye. There you have it. That is Carmen, who is the ex-wife of Greg, who was on earlier. Mm-hmm. So.
A lot of emotions they would go through.
Oh, you could feel it. You could just hear it.
Totally.
Yeah. All right, we'll take a quick break. We have a look at the weather forecast, and we will wrap it up for the morning right here on
Mix 96.7.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good.